Lucy, you all set? All right, I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, March 12th. We promise that spring is actually coming. And if everybody would please join us now with the Pledge of Allegiance.
We sure appreciate it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, good morning to everybody. Thank you for joining us. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are on today's agenda. Is there anybody who would like to do so? Next item is consideration of minutes. We have the March 5th minutes for consideration.
Approval. I will second it.
Moved and seconded. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton. Sanders, aye. Minutes pass. Consideration of personnel actions. We do have three personnel actions that were added after the agenda went out. We have Wild from Information Technology, Kruger from Secondary Roads, and Sargent from Secondary Roads.
Move the personnel action as amended.
Second.
Discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Personnel actions pass. Consideration of claims, larger claims week this week.
Move approval.
Second.
Any discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims pass. Consent agenda, we've added road closure 1347. All other items.
I'll move approval with a noted change.
Second.
Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. Now, on to the real business. Public hearing item. Second consideration of Ordinance 220, rezoning certain lands located in Section 31 of Franklin Township under the ownership of Brian Sandsgard and Sandsgard Seed Farm from A1 Agricultural to R1 Residential. We had our first reading last week in which the Board of Supervisors denied it. We are on the second reading now. Leanne, I don't see any reason to go through the whole presentation again. Have you gotten any additional comments since last week's meeting?
Not.
Any questions for Leanne? Hearing none, I will open the public hearing for second consideration of Ordinance 220 and ask if there is anybody who would like to address us. Going once. Okay, I will close the public hearing. Board, turn to you. What's your pleasure?
Well, it can't be any different than it was last week. So I'm going to make a motion that we deny the rezoning request under Ordinance 220. And
I will second the motion for discussion.
Any separate motion if we want to waive the third, or do we want to waive the third?
I'd like it all as one motion, Jessica.
Okay. Yeah. And I would add to that motion that we waive the third reading.
Second it.
Okay.
You know, the only problem, since I was not here last week and I did read through the information and so forth, and I really didn't have any issues to change. I was just wondering, since we had not received any other correspondence one way or the other, that, you know, it seemed that the action that was took, I would assume they would be notified of that action. Is that correct, Leanne?
The requestee was here last week and addressed us. I've actually communicated with him by email a little bit this week. I don't think that this second denial will come as any surprise. And Jessica, you don't need to come over unless you need to add to this. The advice we were given last week, Wayne, was based on our Ames Urban Fringe Plan, we really don't have any options in this case.
That's what I thought. Okay, great. That's the only thing I wanted to know. So, okay.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Motion is denied. Third reading is waived. So, Leanne, you should be able now to just dispose of this matter for now. Additional items, discussion and consideration of Resolution 1355 regarding notice of voluntary annexation from the City of Slater. Hi, Jessica.
Good morning, Board. The County Attorney's Office was notified by the City of Slater that they are intending to annex some property outside the city limits of Slater. I have attached for your convenience a map of the proposed annex areas. Let me tell you a little bit about them. This is all voluntary annexation, by the way. We're dealing with two different entities. The first is the Slater Community Club, which occupies 1 acre just outside the city limits. They've requested that they be annexed into the city of Slater. The other properties, there are two parcels that are owned by Donald and Joyce Thornwall. One is 14.7 acres, the other is 37.12 acres. As your map shows, it's very close to the city limits of Slater. They have requested annexation into the city so that they can be provided with city services. The board has three potential things that you can do, and I've attached resolutions that, depending on your decision, you can sign the resolution that meets your vote today. The first would be to take no position on the voluntary annexation. The second would be to show support for the annexation. And the third would be to not support the annexation.
Typically in the past, we've just shown no position on it, taken no position on it.
In my time on the board, I think this is the first time we'll be taking formal action to show position, because I think the other way to show no position is just not to comment. Is that right?
Yeah, we can also do a resolution that shows no position on the voluntary annexation, which then gets forwarded to the state and to the city. And there is a time and place that you can appear, but that would eliminate that necessity. So.
Wayne, any thoughts? You've been through a lot of these.
Yep. I'll make a motion that this board take no position in support or against the proposed annexation from the City of Slater.
Second.
Further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Board of Supervisors takes no position, and so we'll adopt that resolution and we forward it on.
Thank you.
Thank you. That. Consideration of requests for proposals for economic development services. Leanne.
What is before you this morning is an RFP that's been developed by our department with assistance from Jessica Reynolds with the County Attorney's Office. The proposal that's before you is to seek proposals and cost estimates for economic development consulting services for next fiscal year. This is in your proposed budget that you'll take action on this upcoming Thursday. The uses proposed are for staff support, strategic planning, recruitment activities, and other services as defined. Just some deadlines are applicable. The proposal deadline, if it is approved today and authorized for release this coming Friday, the deadline would be May 1st. I've already outlined the scope of services, but it applies for those communities that, according to the 2010 census, have less than 2,000 persons and are wholly located within Story County. And then outlined in the RFP is a requirement for a conceptual plan, the submittal process and details, proposal terms, and the requirement for insurance. The estimated timeline includes written requests received from March 15th through April 12th. I do want to note that what was attached to your agenda said March 12th. I do have a corrected one that I can, once it is released, if approved, would say March 15th. Questions are to be submitted to me during that time period, and then we will distribute written responses by April 19th. We want to do this rather than meet individually in person or via other means with potential contractors. Here's a kind of more detailed time frame. Release the RFP this coming Friday, if, again, the budget is approved Thursday evening. Questions are due that time period April 19th with our responses published April 12th with our responses published April 19th. May 10th, RFPs are due, and then RFPs are reviewed May 6th. Oh, that should actually be May 1st. I'm sorry that RFPs are due. May 6th through May 10th, RFPs are reviewed. A selected contractor would be brought before you May 14th. Board of Supervisors actually select the contract or the consultant May 28th, and then contract would be developed through the middle of June with the effective start date July 1st. And I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Can you just in just very briefly refresh my memory? What is the goal here? What are we hoping that this will be able to provide for us?
Go back to this first slide. It'll be able to allow Story County, first and foremost, to provide some additional support to the smaller communities in an unincorporated Story County in regards to economic development. The selected consultant would be, in essence, acting as staff in some regards to provide those types of services through a consulting relationship, developing strategic plans if needed, recruitment activities, any other services, market the communities, do detailed analyses of the economic development opportunities within the communities, several items.
Yeah, Wayne, we've talked for...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just for clarification, we've talked for a few years, this board has talked for a few years about what Story County's role ought to be in economic development. When we put that in the budget, what we had talked about and what I think this document reflects is Story County's role is not as the leader of economic development in Story County, but we do have the opportunity to assist these smaller communities in kind of an umbrella-type format where everybody has access to the same services, same kind of opportunities that every other small community has, and recognizing that while primarily our economic development opportunities in Story County are going to come from Ames, Nevada, Huxley, and Story City, there are opportunities outside of that, and a small impact in any one of these small towns can really make a difference in the development of the entire community. So I think that's what this is the goal of this is.
And reason I was just wanted that clarification again, if you remember a couple meetings back, we had a member from Collins come and actually talk about his willingness to provide some service to some of the smaller counties. This action does not preclude an individual being able to reach out to any of the individual cities or smaller communities about being able to do those services.
Right. Those services are actually outside the scope of what this project is talking about doing.
Right.
And to add on to that, those services are limited to the remainder of this fiscal year.
Right.
All work has to be completed by June 30th. This is only for next fiscal year as well. The contract would be a one-year contract, definitely evaluated towards the end of the fiscal year.
Good. No, it's good clarification.
Just over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the rationale behind it right now is so that Leanne can go ahead and get this out Friday morning, assuming that the budget passes as published Thursday night. Now, clearly that'll have an impact on where this goes, but this would at least free her up to be able to get moving on it. And as you could see, the timeline is pretty tight to get everything done and ready to go by July 1st.
So do we need action on this?
I think we need action on this. I'd look at Jessica.
Okay. That's consent. Yeah.
I'll move approval of this. For the services to the our communities in Story County that are under 3,000 population.
Second.
All right. So I have a motion and a second for approval of the RFP requesting services as laid out in that RFP. Further discussion. Leanne, any additional comments? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. So Leanne should be ready to go for you, depending on budget. Next item is discussion of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan and Ames Urban Fringe Joint and Cooperative Agreement from 2001, from 2006, and the Cooperative Agreement from 2011.
Where'd you get the 2001 at?
Let's see. Sorry, I did skip one. Consideration of planning services to communities pilot program.
I only knew that because I had the presentation in order up here.
I've got my documents in order, and I just missed it.
This is a result coming back to you from our discussion with you last week where we initially brought this forward to you, and you asked us to do a little bit more detail and come back. This is what is set forth in our work program as an opportunity for Story County Planning and Development to provide some services to, again, those smaller communities, and this time it is under those under 3,000 persons according to the 2010 census. It's a pilot program we're looking at running from May through October of this calendar year, from which time then in November we would evaluate it, look at its effectiveness, and see if it is an ongoing program that can be developed and how it is paid for, whether the necessary staff is present on the county's end to provide these services, and reach out with the communities for more detail and contractual arrangements. This is a pilot program, again, for three communities, is ultimately what we would recommend to the Board of Supervisors. What we've drafted is a very simple two-page application for the community on the front, which is what's up there, to give us basic community contact information, and then select all services they're interested in receiving assistance from our department for, and then, of course, a couple of spots for additional or other. And then on the reverse, just asking them to provide a summary why assistance is needed, and then attach additional pages. And again, signed by the mayor of the community. Once we receive this, we do have a time frame that these would be due back to our department by April 12th. After that, we would go through a review on our end, looking at demographics of the community, evaluating that in line with the types of services that they'd requested on the front of this page, and also looking at the summary of why assistance is needed. Through the demographics, we'll look at population trends, also median household income, median household price, just various demographics, as well as staff that's available on their end. And then we'll also look at the geographical location of the community in relationship to Story County and try to make sure that we're covered and not all in one area of the county. If we have three communities that seek assistance and that's all we have, and that's what we'll go with. But ideally, we'd like to see maybe one per school district as well, which should meet our districts we have. With that, I'll be glad to answer any questions. Well, we do anticipate bringing this back to the board then May 26th, I believe, or that third Tuesday in May for ultimate approval and blessing, and then we'll contact the communities and then start May 1st.
It'll be really interesting to me to see which communities, if any,
yep,
complete this and send it back in.
So you'll just do this on a first come, first serve?
No. Once they receive by, which is an option for the board to direct us to do, if we, that might be something, we had not considered that. We consider what we have determined to be our evaluation criteria is going to be, again, the demographics and then the types of services and then the amount of staff they have to complete the services. But we had not.
Well, help me with this, Leanne. My understanding was our goal here is picking communities that allow us to evaluate whether this is a program that needs to be ongoing that we offer to everybody. And so to me, if we have more than three communities interested, there could be some positives toward going with one community rather than another as part of this pilot program. I don't think, you know, we're only talking about 6 months of services. We're not talking about a dramatic impact to any one community or negative impact to any one community. We're just trying to see if this is a program that's viable.
I really don't have a good sense if, I mean, I use Collins, for example, if they were to submit this and ask us to do their floodplain management, I don't have a good sense on a day-to-day basis the amount of staff time it would take. And so I think it'd be a little premature to go to the community and say, we'll be glad to provide this service if you pay us X amount of dollars, and then we just don't have the staff to continue our day-to-day requirements as set forth by the board.
So then I would assume what – If we get three communities that are interested and we get our applications back and they've got every single box checked, then what do? We try to just sit down with them and prioritize where.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I'm thinking if I'm the mayor in one of these towns,
we fully expect it. Yeah.
Paul, I'm serious now. It's going to tell me a lot who who submits these and what they look like when they submit it again. We may get none back, which to me will tell us a lot about the interest in something like that.
Which would be contrary to some of the comments that I've heard from some of the smaller towns, that this is a service that they can't provide themselves.
And once we have a community selected and the board's taken action, we're going to be, even while that's going on, we're going to be talking to the communities and really narrowing down, okay, you selected everything. In this next 6 months, what's going to be your greatest priority? Or maybe they do need everything and we're able to accomplish that.
Wayne, anything? Good. What's the pleasure of the board?
I would move that we approve this provider agreement as outlined by Leanne this morning.
Second.
Further discussion? Leanne, anything to add? Oh, go ahead, Wayne.
I just think that, again, this is a real positive example of what we're trying to do to create an outreach and an awareness and an attempt to build collaboration between communities and the board as we look at the future of economic development and many of the other things that will make Story County even more attractive and vibrant for future generations. And, I just think that, Leanne, your staff, your department, and you're working with the board in helping to formulate this vision has certainly been very refreshing. And I think that no matter where we go, we can certainly say that we have put in motion a mechanism to be able to lend some assistance if needed. And hopefully what the goal of this is ultimately is to make Story County even more attractive and vibrant for all. And so I want to compliment you for your leadership in this manner, and also to my other two colleagues here. I think it certainly would not happen without us being on board in terms of trying to refocus in terms of what our role is and how we can partner with these communities. And I think it's just an exciting opportunity for us. And I'll be really interested in seeing what the end results will be as we move forward. And maybe this will just be the start. We may not see as much initially, but we've at least put a mechanism in place that over time we could build on it. And I think that's the part that's exciting.
Well said. Anything else? Leanne, anything? Okay. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Leanne, go.
Oh, I have to share with you all. We'll go past that one. The next is a discussion of the Ames River Fringe Plan that was adopted in 2006, and then the joint and cooperative agreement that went into effect 2011. This was also something directed by the board that we bring back to you this week. I think it's fair to say the superior rezoning has been a catalyst for this discussion. Just a few history slides and a couple of directional slides, and then I'll leave it for questions. As you all know, the Ames River Fringe Plan itself went into effect in 2006, mutually approved by the City of Ames, City of Gilbert, and Boone County. Boone County has approved the guiding principles in the plan. They have not taken action to fully approve the entire plan. Implementation of the plan is addressed as a component of the plan, as is future land uses, goals, and objectives. But specifically, the section entitled Plan Implementation Program does address the section that's called Review, Monitoring, and Amendments. I'm not asking you to read that up there. This was in the memo that was outlined or presented to the Board of Supervisors for today's agenda. I do want to just point out for anyone in the audience, if they can read that, I'll share it as well. The part in bold in the middle of the slide does ask or put forth that to ensure that the Ames River Fringe Plan remains an effective guide for decision makers, the jurisdiction should cooperatively conduct periodic evaluations of the plan's goals and policies. These evaluations should be conducted every 3 to 5 years, depending on the rate of change in the urban fringe, and should consider the following: progress in implementing the plan, changes in conditions that form the basis framework of the plan, fiscal conditions and the ability to finance public investments recommended by the plan, community support for the plan's goals and policies, and changes in state or federal laws that affect each jurisdiction's tools for the plan's implementation. Since the initial plan adoption in 2006, we've been able to estimate on planning and development and how many the amendments that have occurred, what has resulted in, and the change in classification from priority transitional residential to an urban residential classification has yielded approximately 340 acres. This will include the former Rose Prairie subdivision as well as Quarry Estates, and then also the Athan site, which is another 55 acres. And in addition, when the Ames Urban Fringe Plan was adopted, about 2,010 acres of urban residential was identified for future growth, along with 610 acres of that priority transitional residential. With those amendments that have occurred, the lands designated urban residential have increased by 17%. However, in contrast, those designated priority transitional residential have decreased by over 50%. While amendments to Ames Urban Fringe Plan have been acted upon by all jurisdictions, whether it be the Rose Prairie, the various amendments that have come forth, we've not undertaken a full-scale review of the plan. The agreement then was signed into effect in July 2001. It's through the Chapter 28E of the Code of Iowa, again agreed to by the City of Ames, City of Gilbert, and Story County. The agreement defines various processes applicable within the boundaries of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. It looks at mechanisms for subdivision review, annexation, rezonings, and plan amendments. Section 6 of the agreement itself is entitled Plan Review and Amendment, and it does state that any time during the term of this agreement, either the chair of the County Board of Supervisors or a mayor of either of the cities may initiate a review of the plan by providing a notice in writing of the intent to so review. And with that, that is a history. I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
And that's really what we're talking about here today, and that last little piece that you just talked about is do we as the Board of Supervisors want to initiate a review of this plan?
What type of feedback have you received as we look at what's happening, particularly in our urban area and the urban fringe, you know, and I'm speaking primarily from, you know, Ames annexation, the City of Nevada and so forth. Those are the two that come to my notice. But as we look at our whole fringe plan and the whole area, are you getting a sense that, because I thought at one time we had pretty much defined jurisdictional responsibilities and the review that would take place depending upon what area was primarily impacted. So what do you see basically here would be a need for us to take any additional action, if any?
I'll go back to this slide and go back to the amount of land that's changed from priority transitional residential to that urban residential classification. And Charlie Kuster from the City of Ames is here as well. I do hear from the perspective of property owners, and if you go back, I know you were gone last week, but Superior rezoning, there seems to be a sentiment on the part of property owners that in some cases they're playing a catch-22 and the land is not allowed to, until annexation is brought forward, nothing will be able to occur in certain areas. And that is of some concern to me if you look at the number of urban residential classification, how that has increased, and the other designation has not changed at all except for to decline. And the other designation, the priority transitional residential, is where City of Ames or Gilbert and Story County have a joint subdivision review. So there is some opportunity for growth to occur in the unincorporated area in that particular designation.
Charlie, you're here. Would you like to come to address us on any of this?
Sure.
Please do.
Closer, there you go.
If you don't mind introducing yourself.
Charlie Kuster, planner with the City of Ames. And I agree with Leanne. I think the plan's been in effect along with the implementation agreement for at least 2 years. It's due for automatic renewal at the end of 5 years, but it might be appropriate to look at the plan overall. There are some things I will admit aren't working out as we had thought. Priority transitional residential, for instance, the requirements of that are that development occur to urban densities with urban-style infrastructure, but without connection to city sewer and city water. So the two recent land use changes that we've done in the fringe have been from priority transitional residential into urban residential to accommodate that. To get 3.75 units per acre, you pretty much need access to city sewer and city water. I know we've had some changes with, so we've changed some from priority transitional residential to urban residential, and we're starting to see interest in other directions of the city, either for further residential or for even industrial growth. And you've probably heard some of those discussions on the east side of Ames. So I think a broad look at the plan, whether it's just to look at whether the map should be tweaked or if you want to open it up to the broader policy goals and objectives, you know, I guess you would initiate that either way you'd want to go.
Yeah. For me, Charlie, and you can just correct me if you see it differently than this, it feels like you guys have had so much going on in Ames. When we originally put the urban fringe plan into place in 2006, I think there was a genuine expectation that Ames was going to grow a little more west and maybe a little southwest, and the reality is it's growing north and, depending on what happens with the industrial land, east. And so for me, when I look, when Leanne puts a map up there for me from the 2006 snapshot that we have, and I look at it and I immediately recognize, well, this isn't showing what's happening in the north. This isn't showing some of those things. It makes me feel like we need to get back in and at a minimum, as you suggest, get in and revisit, kind of the area, but even deeper than that, I'd like to dig in a little bit to some of the policy side of things. What is working and what's not working? Are there ways we can tweak this to make it go a little more smoothly? I think back to Chuck Winkleblack and the Oaks Golf Course. I know that depending on the perspective, there was at least confusion about where we were in following the plan a couple times. And so I'd like to look at all of that. I don't know, Wayne, where you and Paul stand on this. Charlie, I'm really encouraged to hear that you feel like it would be worth at least looking at some of these areas.
I think any long-term comprehensive plan, even though it's got a 30-year outlook, you know, needs to be reviewed on a regular basis because, as Leanne has noted, we have changed things in the past, and rather than going through a lot of small incremental changes, it might be good at this point to stand back and take a broader look at it.
And I think over time, as you look at it, we've had a change in our board, and also you've brought new people on the council and so forth since this was formulated. And so I think in time, you know, it makes sense for us to kind of go back and begin to take a look at it and see if there are any changes, but at least the whole analysis will be very positive in you know, helping us look at this from a holistic point of view. So,
thank you. Any other questions?
I think it's like Charlie said. I think it might be time to take a look at it. It's been in effect since 2006, and you know, the plan is in place. There's no point in trying to reinvent the wheel, but we can certainly take a look at it, make sure there's no flat spots on it, and kind of go from there.
As the plan talks about initiating the review, it could either be the chairman of the board or the mayor of either city. If you wanted to initiate that process, I would only ask that you kind of describe the parameters of what you want to look at. Big broad look, starting with page one, the broad policy goals, or do you want to look at more of some of the implementation part of it? Is it going to be mostly a map, looking at the map and see if the allowable growth areas of the cities are the right size or in the right direction? A broad, open-ended review of the plan, I think, just takes so much resources and time that if we could narrow the scope of the review, that would be helpful.
Charlie, I appreciate that. I tell you what, we got a couple options here, board. Either we could go ahead and say today, yes, we want to review the plan, in which case I'll turn to Leanne and Jessica and say, okay, draft that notice, let me sign it, and we'll send it on in. Or we could say, yeah, we have real interest in this. Leanne, how about drafting kind of the areas that you think we need to consider reviewing, and we come back, I know we're not meeting next week, but we come back in two Tuesdays and go through it one more time, and get it passed. Jessica, that gives you a big opportunity to weigh in on kind of what this looks like. Charlie, it'd give you guys a chance to comment on what at least we're discussing, asking for the review in. Leanne, you have thoughts on, I mean, Charlie hits home with me, okay, are we asking for a big, broad, open review? Maybe we are, but if we're not, we need to focus in a little bit.
I think that would be, from our standpoint, a preferred way to go, and especially knowing that they have some staffing limitations as well. To the best of the abilities of all jurisdictions, if we can focus in on what that review should entail, that would help focus our staff resources and really hopefully make the process go a little bit more smoothly than if it was just a broad stroke review.
Okay. So, board, then, if you agree with that stance, then the motion today is direction to Leanne to go out and draft exactly what kind of review we're looking at and bring it back to the Board of Supervisors. If not, if you feel like you want the full review, then you can sure do that as well.
Well, again, this is an area where we would be prudent to look at what staff's philosophy would be an idea, since they are the ones that have worked with this, and I know Charlie and Leanne and our staff have worked on this over a number of years. And I think, again, the plan itself is available for everybody to review, and if you could just highlight and pinpoint those areas that we really think are key now that have already been mentioned, I think it will serve everybody's time well. And so I like the second part of that motion, that we would do that. Now, when I use the term, obviously Leanne is bringing forth that, but I would hope there would be an opportunity to have some collaboration with Charlie and the AIM staff regarding to see if we're kind of on the same page, because if we come up with one thought and then you guys come up with an entirely different one, you know, then we're sitting back, spending more time, really spinning our wheels, trying to figure out where we are. So if there's a way to come up with some common agreement, and even though it may not have been passed by the City Council, at least the two areas.
If we go that route, Wayne, it at least gives Charlie or somebody else from City Names an opportunity to comment on what we're discussing, which I think would be helpful.
Gotcha.
So I would also like to recognize third partner to this, the City of Gilbert, and bringing them at least maybe in the beginning phase to talk about the parameters of a review.
I think it's right on.
Okay.
Thoughts?
No, I would just make a motion that we direct Leanne to draft that letter with the areas highlighted that we would.
Second.
Yeah, and just for clarification, the intent is that will come back to us for final approval. We're not approving sending a letter at this point. Further discussion? Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Charlie, thanks for being over here.
Thank you.
Leanne, thank you. Next item is discussion and consideration of funding review and assistance for Community Life Program, Ron Christensen. Ron, all right. How are you today, Ron?
Good. Morning. I'm just wanting to request some assistance from Ierley Ball Mental Health Center with the financial side of our operations. Right now, we feel like we need a little bit of assistance. We have a person who's going to be leaving at the end of March in that office, and this is a short-term fix, but we're hoping they can come in and kind of help us figure out what we need in the long term. So in front of you, you have a proposal that they gave to me from Ierley Ball for $3,200 approximately to come in and get us back on track and then give us some help for planning for the future.
Sure. And just so I'm clear, Ron, this is outsourcing the financial and billing part of CLP for the short term while we figure out where things are going.
Right.
For me, I recognize how short-staffed you guys have been, have really appreciated the way you have all stepped up to the plate to get these things done. And, Board, I think this is something we recognize, that we might have to go outside for some additional help. Jessica, I know you've reviewed the proposal from Ierley Ball. It makes sense to me in that this is exactly what they do, and it seemed to me to be a really reasonable amount in terms of what we were paying for what we were getting.
Absolutely. I have had a chance to speak with Ron and review Ierley Ball's proposal, and the county attorney's position is that it makes sense. and I think it's a very reasonable rate.
Yeah, and I would have nothing to add. Ron and I visited a couple weeks ago during our liaison discussion, and he shared with me the rationale as to why he felt this was certainly a step that we should take, and that he wanted to bring this for the board for final consideration. And so I think that from all the reasons that have been outlined, that this is an area that I feel that I can support.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with it. I would move approval of the proposal from Ireley Ball for the assistance with financial and billing for $3,200.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Ron, anything to add?
Thank
Jessica?
You.
No.
Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Ron, thanks for your work, man.
Good. Keep up the good work.
Agency reports, Boys and Girls Club. Jeff, I was happy to see you here today, man. How you doing?
Welcome, board, and thank you for having me over to talk about the Boys and Girls Club. It's an exciting time for us. We're actually celebrating our 50th anniversary in Ames and Story County this year. I just celebrated my 22nd anniversary with the organization a couple weeks
started
ago.
Started when you were seven?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Boys and Girls Club continues to serve boys and girls ages 7 to 18 on a daily basis. Right now we're in our after-school program. We're seeing about 70 kids a day, which is an increase over we've been about 55 to 60 in the recent years, and right now we're at least at 70 every day, continuing to work with Iowa State University in our homework help program, helping the kids get their homework done every day after school. We right now have our meal program every single night in the evening, which is a community-based donated meal program where we're serving 60 to 70 kids every night. Sometimes it's catered in by a local restaurant. Sometimes our staff's making grilled cheese sandwiches, whatever. But it seems to be very popular and very important to the families that those kids are getting to eat before they go home at night. And then, you know, along with getting their homework done, it seems like we're providing something good for the families. And then hopefully when they go home at night, they can have some family time when those things are both taken care of. Right now we're getting ready for spring break. Kids are going to be off school here soon, so we will be open during the day hours during that time, which is 8 to 5:30, which we are open during the summer as well, 8 to 5:30. We again will be hosting and be a sponsor site for the summer food service program, an open site where we'll serve over 100 meals to kids every day during the summer through that program. Right now we're contracted with Iowa State University and the dining, ISU dining for that. Transportation, which you'll probably hear from every agency, is an issue, but we're working with some different agencies and hopefully and with some of the families to be able to work with that. But right now we're picking up in our van at the Ames Middle School and Ames High School every day after school. The elementary students in Ames are able to get on a school bus right at their respective schools and get dropped off at our front door. So that's been very important in helping the parents out as well. Some of these snow days recently has caused a hamper in some of that transportation. What we're doing right now in the bad weather, we're not opening on the days that they don't have school at all. The days they've been getting out early, we're opening up early. So when the buses pick up the kids at the elementary school, we're able to open up and they can come right there right after school. So that's been working out pretty well. Numbers-wise, attendance, like I say, we're right about 70 right now. During the summer, we were about 100 kids a day. Boys and girls ratio, I'll say, is about 50-50 in attendance and in membership. We've had a little influx again of membership here recently. I don't know, we're doing a little more marketing with our 50th anniversary. I don't know if that's tying anything in. And we had our Harrison Barnes little press conference type thing and his connections, and I think that drew a little interest to some of the kids and families to have him involved a little bit too. Some of you may see a video. We put together a video about our 50th anniversary, talking about the history of the organization, some of the collaborations that we have within Ames and Story County. And then, like Coach Hoiberg, Fred Hoiberg was a former member. He talks a little bit about his experience with the Boys and Girls Club. Some of the collaborations that have been very strong and we're continuing to grow a little bit are with the Ames Police Department, doing some after-school programs with them, but also shop with the cop. And I want to personally thank the Sheriff's Department also that got involved with that, and that program continues to grow. Youth and shelter services, the kids from the shelter houses are using our club every day during the day when it's quiet and the other kids aren't there, so they're using the facility during the day. And then our relationship with Iowa State University is just, it's so popular. And like I said, I've been with the organization for 22 years, but it's still our best kept secret where those students are coming down and helping our kids get their homework done and getting home and having family time after that. So.
Outstanding. Jeff, we sure appreciate everything you and Boys and Girls Club do. Absolutely. Anything else for Jeff?
Nope.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Child Serve, Rachel. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good.
So, Child Serve, continue to provide tons of services throughout Story County. Our last year, we served 628 kids that came through our door for all the different services. Outpatient therapy and our child care program are pretty maxed out. We have waiting lists for both of those programs. The ones that are able to grow are our respite and our supported community living program, which are both in-home services where we come out and assist the families. The respite program allows the kids to come to our center and stay for a weekend. Those areas will continue to grow. We increased about 20 kids last year in those programs, and we typically see that growth of about 20 every year. So again, our child care program assisted, I want to say, 7 children through asset funding, and probably 15 to 20 with DHS funds. So we typically see about 10% of our enrollment as assisted out of the 112. So outpatient therapy continues to grow. We're running out of space in that particular department. This past year, we hired a therapy manager to assess that situation, look at waiting lists, continue to recruit new therapists and grow that program. We currently have 12 on staff, 12 full-time therapists, and 45 child care and then just office staff here in Ames.
Outstanding. Anything, Board? Thank you so much for coming over and reporting. Thanks for your work. No departmental reports, liaison assignments, and committee meetings. I just want to report that on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, I attended the DOT presentation of what's going on along Highway 30, both long-range and short-term. From a long-range perspective, clearly there's concerns with closing down, limiting access from Highway 30, and we'll continue to work through that. Nothing is imminent there. What is imminent is the flyover coming from 35 north to 30 west, but that, as I see it, doesn't have a whole lot of impact on us. Something that we do need to have on our radar, be aware of, and see if we have any opportunity to impact is, here in the next few weeks, they're going to start a repaving project along the portion of Highway 30 from 580th through 600th, basically from Ames to Nevada. And I've heard several concerns from some of our farmers that's right in the middle of planting season, and they're talking about closing north-south crossing opportunities at both 580th and 600th, which are the two major agricultural north-south routes there in the center of the county, at the same time. And as I understand it, the DOT contract has already been let. It calls for both of those closing at the same time. What I don't know, and what I would like permission from the board to ask, is for our civil attorney to look into, can we have any impact at all on that? Because it makes sense to me, if you're taking the entire center of the county in terms of north-south or agricultural out of play during planting season, that it's going to cause some real issues for our farmers. And so, like I say, I don't know what kind of impact we can have, if any, but I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Very little, but yes, it's worth at least discussing.
It seems to me that we're the opportunity to be a
voice. And these are things that the DOT has really talked about. They vetted it quite a bit, but if you've sat in on some of those, more than anything, a lot depends on if the powers to be can actually focus on where we see there could be some potential negative consequences. By voicing it, you know, they may rethink, you know, how it's done. But if we remain silent in the whole issue and don't point out some of those, then we have lost an opportunity. So I think certainly it's worth our.
Jessica, would you mind looking at the proper mechanism for us to communicate that with DOT and see if we can have any impact?
Stephen was at that meeting with the engineer and I a couple, 3 weeks ago, and he's got the maps that show the crossovers. And okay.
Anything else? Liaison assignments, committee meetings.
More committee meetings. Paul, you got anything?
No, I don't have anything.
As you know, I was in D.C. last week. This is our legislative conference. I had a great time. We spent Monday and Tuesday on Capitol Hill. I had an opportunity to meet with Congressman Braley, King, Lathrum, and Lobsack, as well as Senators Grassley and Harkin. And one of the things that we tried to do as an Iowa Association of Counties this year is to narrow our focus into maybe three different areas. And primarily, again, talking about the deficit reduction and what the sequester would mean ultimately to counties down the road, realizing that eventually a lot of the dollars from the federal level that goes to the state. And if they're cut back, they ultimately will come back to have a direct impact on our ability to provide services, and there could be a cost shift to counties in that regard. So we wanted to be make them very much aware of how decisions that are made at the federal level could have negative consequences on our ability. While they weren't able to really comment a whole lot about it, they just said the number one thing is we all are going to have to learn to do without, get by with less dollars, because there just isn't going to be the same level of funding for the federal government, at least for the next year, year and a half, and we'll see how that goes. And then another topic we focused on was the protection of the federal, state, local partnership for Medicaid. As we're aware, you know, our state and the governor basically has kind of taken a little different view on this, and it's still being debated as to whether or not he's going to be fully on board. And our goal was basically, as counties, is to ask our congressional delegation is when they meet with the governor to talk about the overall impact of the number of people that would not be able to receive services if we didn't join in the program that's available. And I think all of them certainly understood, you know, the issue. But again, it's each state is ultimately going to ultimately make that decision. And one of the other goals was for them to understand that there was an opportunity for us to see how we could work with them in getting the message out, not only to legislators, both at the federal level, but at the state level as well, at the local level as well. And we spent a lot of time on the Farm Bill and reauthorization funding for rural development, and trying to tie in the role of rural development, that the Farm Bill is so critical for future rural development. And we share it with them, you know, not only the food supply, but all the different programs that the USDA through the Farm Bill supports that makes a big difference. Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack, we met directly with him. He spoke to our General Assembly again, and again talked about the reauthorization, because as of September 30, 2013, they're probably going to have to do something. And the message basically is there will be a what they call a reauthorization, an extension. We were trying to tell them that we needed at least a 2 or 3 year period, because what's happening is a lot of young farmers today are not going to spend a lot of money buying equipment and land when there's so much uncertainty in terms of what the funding stream might be. And we want to try to have a farm bill I think that is going to be productive for them to go out to a lending institution and take a loan, knowing full well that the federal programs will be there as a buffer. So those were the three areas that we focused on primarily with each of the each of our representatives, and was very well received. We had about 24 members representing all the different elected departments throughout the state of Iowa that met through that. There was the conference itself. As you know, I serve on the Environmental Energy and Land Use Steering Committee, and of course that was one of the big issues, still talking about Clean Water Act and what impact that will have, and some of the federal legislation and some of the challenges that the EPA is having with the Obama administration regarding some rules. So you've got a passionate a group who has a strong environmental interest, looking at what is the role of federal government, how much of these rules and regulations could be hindering growth and development. So it was an interesting mix to see how they were engaging in things. But all in all, it was extremely very positive. Now back to the local level, and I wanted to call this to your attention. First of all, tomorrow we will have the Iowa Association of Counties Day at the Capitol. And at that time, we will be talking to our legislators again on several key legislative priorities by the Iowa Association of Counties. We'll have various booths and so forth, and I'll spend several hours at the booth with a display about county government, what our roles are. We'll actually share some information we received from NACO about how county government plays a key in role, etc. But what I wanted to call your attention to is now there's movement on mental health at the state level. I just received an email this morning. House Bill 160 is talking about the $11.6 million for transitional funding for the mental health redesign. Iowa Association of Counties have gone on record against this 11.6, and primarily because they believe that counties will not be able to effectively use these dollars because they're tied to the federal program, child care program. And as a result of this, I think we need to be aware of this. So I have sent out an email to all of our exec board members asking them to weigh in so that I could give Bill some guidance. We as supervisors have registered for this bill. The question at mine is, do we register for the 11.6, something, getting something rather than nothing, or would we be better off registering against it, knowing full well that the House has already said that they're willing to go to 11.6. The Senate is talking about it. I don't think that we will lose anything by registering against it. So I wanted to kind of make you aware of this, and you probably haven't thought about it a great deal, but just from a strategic point of view, do you see an advantage for us as supervisors to register against this bill rather than registering for it? As what we've currently done at this point. We still have an opportunity to come back and say no, only for the reason that we know the 11.6 is not going to meet Story County's needs. The $740,000 we'll get is not coming close to meeting our needs.
Well, not only is it not coming close to meeting our needs, there's so many strings attached to it.
Right.
We're actually getting dollars that we can't use in this fiscal year anyway, or a substantial amount of those can't be used in this fiscal year. I was encouraged to see what passed out of committee from the Senate did not include the stipulation that counties receiving those funds had to repay their state bills. As you know, we're holding a substantial amount of state bills currently by the end of this fiscal year. So it gives us a little more flexibility. What's interesting to me, Wayne, and really a strategic kind of decision from ISAC and the supervisor's affiliate, most interested in me would be ISAC coming down against it and the supervisors coming out for it. That doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me, one way or another. So I don't know what kind of direction I have to give you other than it doesn't make sense to me that the supervisors would be against something that ISAC feels strongly enough about to come down. Supervisors before something that ISAC comes down against. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to have a whole lot of impact. I think this is baked into the cake.
Well, I think you are probably aware that at our earlier meeting on our legislative day where all the supervisors were there, there was a movement among several counties is they wish that we would have taken a much stronger position and said that we did not support what is currently being proposed now simply because there is no funding for the transition funding. And so whether or not that statement in itself would be a positive. So I just wanted to call this to your attention in the public arena because it's going to be talked about in the next couple of days. There is some movement in the Senate right now, which could be advantageous to us. It's dealing with the equalization portion. Both the Senate and the House has identified nearly $30 million, but no legislative action has been taken. The Senate is currently talking about making some changes that may not set well with the House. And I think the big difference is they want to be able to have some dollars to assist those counties that will have a negative balance for FY14 and using some of those dollars to do that. The problem is there is some mixed communication. They're getting one report from Department DHS, and then they're getting a report from ISAC. And when I talked to Deb yesterday, she says DHS instructed us to take out all administrative costs. And so and ISAC believes that administrative costs should be a part of it. It always has been. And so the numbers don't jive up. So we're sending mixed signals to the legislators in terms of what is the actual needs of member counties. So I think what you're going to see in the next few days is that as counties, we're going to need to be more vocal in terms of really pointing out why we believe administrative costs should be included in that.
So my question would be, Wayne, is when DHS makes their budget request, are they removing all DHS administrative costs?
No, not at all.
Give me a break. This equalization thing, to me, Wayne, this is where we better plant our flag in the ground and we better fight as hard as we can because we're getting ready to pass a budget Thursday night that includes $1.2 million in equalization.
Right.
The state has not we're going to be in worse shape next year than we are this year if that equalization doesn't come through. And so we've gone, you know, again, I feel like Charlie Brown trying to kick the football. Yeah, the state says, oh, everything's going to be fine. Go ahead and plug in your budget. And then they come back after the fact and say, no, it's nowhere close. The transition is what the transition is. You know, we're going to find a way to get through it regardless of how many strings are attached to whatever dollars ultimately come back to us. But the equalization, that's the future of the program. Without the equalization, I think as it's been laid out or substantially as it's been laid out, this regionalization does not have a chance in the world of being successful.
Right. That's what concerns me is that now that the Senate decides they're going to monkey around with the formula for equalization. So I don't have a lot of confidence. I think we'll be lucky to get the $11.6 million and go from there.
Well, now the Senate is willing to move forward with $11.6 million. However, they want to talk about the additional $30 million that and looking at the 4725 is what they're trying to take a look at because they know that it's going to have a disproportionate effect on some counties and currently there's no dollars have been allocated for that. So
right, but that's where regionalization is supposed to come in. That equalization, it's supposed to recognize that, yes, Story County will be getting $1.2 million because of the limitation we have in our mental health levy. But that $1.2 billion rolls into this region that we've now formed with six or in the process of forming, if we can ever avoid a snowstorm, with the rest of those counties, some of which are getting transition fund or equalization and some that are not. And so it's supposed to all the idea behind it was we aren't looking at this county by county anymore with the equalization. Transition funds, we're looking at it county by county. Right. Equalization, we should be looking at it in terms of regions and what it does for the region, and that's how we've all built our budgets.
This question is more for Jessica. My concern right now is how is the best way to kind of keep these guys in the loop in terms of what's happening, because I'm spending time down at the State House a little bit more. You know, obviously I could come to each board meeting on a board meeting day and kind of do that. I've asked our legislative liaison person to send out updates as to what's happening so all supervisors get a copy of that. But I do think, you know, I don't want to be the only voice because of Story County's role in how it's going to impact us. But yet at the same time, I don't want to violate our open meetings request in terms of communication with them. So any thoughts in terms of what's the best way to kind of keep them in the loop a little bit about what's really happening down at the State House?
Well, I appreciate your question, Wayne. I'd say any time that you want to meet with the Board of Supervisors outside of our Tuesday meetings, just notice of that if you want to have discussion and deliberation about, you know, these things. Just post notice 24 hours in advance. Make sure that the public is aware that you'll be having these discussions with two or more of you. As far as any updates you're getting email-wise, you're able to forward those on without any discussion between all of you. You can forward those. Just don't make any comments and don't comment between all of you on them, and that would be appropriate.
Okay, great. Great. That's answered my question. All right. Great.
Anything else? Wayne, thank you for that update. Paul, do you have anything?
No.
All right. Other reports, supplemental food program presentation. We have been looking forward to this. Are you Mindy? Mindy, thanks for coming up today.
My name is Mindy Sullinger. I'm the commodity program coordinator for Polk County's commodity supplemental food program. I'm going to give you just a little brief history of the program. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the federal program. It was CSFP was started in 1969. It served just mothers and children until 1982. Polk County was one of three pilot programs that started the elderly program. And our program exists under the U.S. Department of Agriculture and currently serves 39 states, the District of Columbia, and two Indian tribal organizations. In 1973, the Board of Supervisors in Polk County took the sponsorship of the program in Iowa, and we currently serve, our caseload is 2,991 participants that we serve in Polk, Dallas, Jasper, Warren, and Boone counties. Our food package, and we did bring a box of food so you could see what kind of products are in there, is the street value of approximately $40 or a little more than that.
Mindy, can I ask you to just take a deep breath just for a short minute? I've had quite a bit of coffee this morning. I want to hear what all you got to say. But I do want to step out.
Okay, sure. Yeah, no problem.
Take your time and get that up there.
That's fine.
Mindy, can you restate the counties that
yes,
sir.
Polk, Dallas, Jasper, Warren, and Boone counties.
Yeah, we'll wait just a minute for Wayne, if that's okay,
because
I want him to hear all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucy, you got the other counties that are participating? Well, Wayne, I forgot to ask a really important question while you were giving your report. What is for lunch tomorrow down at the Capitol?
There is going to be a lunch served. I don't know what it is, but it's in the, I can find out for you.
That's all right. I was just thinking of coming by and visiting you while you're in the booth.
Okay.
Mindy, back to you.
Okay, the qualifications for our program, the seniors have to be 60 years of age or older, and they need to meet income guidelines set forth by the Department of Health and Human Services. Our guidelines are based on 130% of the poverty level. Basically, how they would apply for the program is fill out an application and submit proof of their age and proof of their income. All of our participants have to be recertified every 6 months, and because the seniors are on a fixed income and they only get increases normally one time a year, we only require that they update their income once a year unless it changes. Our normal out-of-county deliveries are done the third week of the month. If Story County chooses to partner with us, we would be delivering their food boxes on Monday of that week. And all the information we would print and distribute to the participants for any updates that we need or any communication with them. Our delivery process requires a location that can have participants drive up to the delivery truck, show their property IDs, and receive their box of food without leaving their vehicles. That was a pretty recent change. Before, we would have a building we would set up, and they'd have to come in and then go back out and then go to the truck. But it basically, we changed it to save one staff person from having to go an additional staff person, and then actually, the seniors love it because they don't have to get out of their cars anymore. So,
are you able to partner with agencies in Polk County, which provides a venue for where the trucks could be parked?
Actually, for each county, we have specific locations that we will work through to figure out where there's some places we go to, like the Salvation Army parking lot, or we go to park at one of the counties. It just depends on where the most need is and where we can set that up. So that's that. Part of our requirements for federal regulations is to give our participants information on nutritional education. So every month we have a contract with Iowa State Extension, and they put together a brochure for us, a pamphlet that we put in each food box before we deliver it, and it gives them, you know, nutrition and exercise things, and there's recipes on them that they can try. And starting July 1, the recipe that will be on that flyer will coordinate with the items that they have in their box for that month. So that's going to be a new change. We also have volunteers that help us. There is a requirement that they fill out an application. We do criminal background checks, child and adult abuse checks, as well as driver's license check and proof of insurance for volunteers that drive themselves. For obvious liability reasons. We use our volunteers mostly for our clients that are homebound. So when we come to Story County, we go to our main stop. We'll have a volunteer come that may have 10 orders to take out door to door. You know, we can go door to door. We prefer to use a volunteer because it saves time for us so we can go to the other communities, because we wouldn't just come to one location here in Story County. You know, I don't know where, you know, the locations of your needs are for Story County, but we would make sure that we got to every place that we needed to. Senior housing complexes, we would deliver directly to those. And
We also do outreach for all of our counties, so I have two program specialists that would be doing outreach in Story County on a regular basis. We have with each county a memorandum of understanding. I submitted a copy of Jasper County's, so you guys could kind of look at it. It would basically be the same. They're all the same. You know, the fees for this, the USDA basically pays for all the food. They give us some money for administrative costs, and Polk County sponsors the rest of that. For the counties, the other counties that we serve, the administrative fee is figured as $5 per box, and with a minimum of 100 boxes delivered each month and a maximum of 200. So the minimum fee would be $6,000 a year, and the maximum would be $12,000 per year for the program. And that's strictly just for our office, you know, getting things packed. And renting, we rent a Penske truck to bring to the county. So do you guys have any questions?
How is this program coordinated with some of our community action agencies that provide certain services, whether we're talking about MICA, whether we're talking about community life, community service programs? There are church services that provide food for homeless or, you know, those who fall below the federal poverty level. I can think of one or two churches that have done these type of programs. How do you coordinate those, what you do with agencies like that? Because currently, that's not something that the county, to my knowledge, is directly funding those through the various churches and so forth.
Right. We are the only program in Iowa for CSFP. So basically, those other programs, we just we would make referrals if we get phone calls, people calling, and we do all the time from other counties. And so we refer a lot to the other programs. It would not affect their eligibility. Whether they're on food stamps or any other program does not affect their eligibility for this program. So, you know, we like to partner with those churches and whatnot so that, you know, they are aware of what we offer and, you know, we can use them to refer participants to also. So,
Wayne, this seems to me, I need you to just help me with a little history lesson. This seems to me to be an asset-based program. The way we run things through Story County, I don't know if you guys are familiar, we have what we call the asset process, where the four major funders in the county, the City of Ames, Iowa State Student Government, and United Way, all come together, have its own board that goes through and takes a look at items like this as we set funding for the year. Well, of course, they've just completed the process. We're setting our budget as of the 14th. But this seems to me to be a program that should absolutely run through the asset process. And I'm not suggesting that it's not something that we should consider even in the shorter term. I think asset is getting back together in April.
Coming up, I think.
In April at some point. But what I am suggesting is I'd like to know more about this, but I'd like to understand better the relationships with Heartland, you know, Heartland Senior Services,
right.
And how all of this fits together. And I can't think of a better way to do that other than to refer this to Asset through Deb and say, hey, we'd like to look at this. We'd like to understand if this is something that could be beneficial to Story County and our seniors. But is that the right way to
Well, initially that's the right way from my standpoint, simply because if we're talking about counties joining in partnership in a program of this nature, we have an established, I won't use the word oversight, but we have an established mechanism by which we evaluate these programs. We have certain expectations of the programs that one thing that you may or may not be aware of, that under our asset program, you have to submit a budget. and you have to also go through an auditing process and so forth, because we're talking about spending taxpayer dollars. And so I think that what he's really getting to is, while the program itself sounds like there could obviously be a need and there could be clients in Story County that I think could benefit from it, we just want to find the appropriate way that we could actually look at moving forward with a program like this. And I believe that would be my recommendation, to at least present it to that body and then see if there are some duplication, if there are some things that we need to do above and beyond.
Well, I mean, this seems to me, based on what I know that we're doing, I don't think we have another service provider in Story County that provides anything like this. I mean, I know we've got some that provide meals, individual meals, but I don't think we have anything like this. Clearly, I mean, Story County is getting older and older, been recognized as one of the great places to retire. So I think it's worth our time to look into this. I just want to make sure we go through the right process in looking at it. Mindy, the other question I would have is, what kind of relationship do you guys have with Aging Resources that really all the counties that you're talking about are served by?
Actually, I got your name through Aging Resources, and we do use them quite a bit for different things, just getting the word out, or, you know, we've advertised through the Farmers Market program, sending flyers when they mail the coupons out. We've sent stuff out, so I do have a good relationship with them. So,
please introduce yourself as you.
Sure. I'm Brian Boyer with Polk County. I'm the director of the department that has this program in it. And as far as Aging Resources goes,
speak for that.
Sorry, I just wanted to be able to say to you that we have a more extensive relationship, a really substantial relationship with Aging Resources, as it relates to the other aspects of our department, more than the program that Mindy represents. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is that they are very aware of all of our services, and including this one. It's mostly our senior services and congregate meal sites that we interact with them. We get money from them for transportation and other things as
Perfect.
Well.
Okay. Thank you very much. You said a minimum of 100 boxes. Any of these counties that you're serving, how long did it take you to ramp up to actually delivering 100 boxes?
Well, if we get 2 to 3 months to get up here and start getting people applying for the food, we could have 100 boxes easy, pretty easy. So, the other counties, I wasn't around when they first implemented it to the other counties, but just from my watch and our outreach and the response of that, it should not take very long. And in fact, we probably wouldn't even start it until we had the minimum ready to go.
Okay. Yeah, if it's okay with the board, what I'd like to do is I'd like to refer this to the asset, our asset board for comment, and then we just look at, as a county, whether this is a program we want to enter into, and if so, what kind of timing we're looking at, have them work with you on what a ramp-up would look like, how we would get word out. But I view this as kind of the beginning of this conversation,
sure.
Trying to figure out where we're headed.
I'd be willing to come and speak at other meetings that you need me to. So,
okay.
We also have two representatives here of some of the departments that receive services and funding through the county, and just reported earlier, Boys and Girls Club and Child Serve, and I think, you know, some of the clients that they serve and the individuals, there's obviously families that could utilize these services. The key for us is, again, trying to make sure that we have the proper format for the coordination and reaching out to people, because, you know, there are folks that really are struggling and need a lot of assistance, but are very proud, and how they go about receiving assistance, I think, is something, again, that we're sensitive to. So how we do that, and I'm sure your agency has dealt with this, but I do think that this is something that we want to explore further, and I agree with you, Rick, that I think this would be a good place to refer this, and I look forward to seeing what role we can play as we move forward.
Bendy, I'm going to refer this to Deb Shildroth. You can expect to hear from her, and we'll just move forward from there. Really appreciate you guys being here today.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. We're to public forum number two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to make comments to the Board of Supervisors on items not on this agenda. Board may not take any action to comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for being here.
Loris Olson, 1705 Buchanan. Actually, my comments are related to items on the agenda, but not having had any background information prior to. The first one is about the food program, and I was just going to ask if it had to funnel through government process or not, or would this maybe be also be able to be referred to the congregations or AMOS or something like that? So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if you,
sorry. I didn't think it'd be nice to trip you as young. So, does the county have to be the fiscal agent, or can you partner with a private group?
We can partner with anybody. It's going to run through Polk County, and then.
But does Story County have to?
No, it could be any organization. The monies cannot come from any participant. That's what the regulation states. So other than that, we have before partnered with Kiwanis. And,
well, see, off the top of my head, and what I was thinking in referring this to Asset is, it seems to me that this might be a program that Heartland would love to jump on and make the request for additional funding through Asset in order to pay for the program. So, Loris, I don't think we're a whole lot off. We need to run it through the process. We need to run it through.
Yeah, and my thought was in case there was a desire to bring it up before it could go through the next asset process, could private groups pick it up? Anyway, sorry. Curious.
Fine.
I thought it was cool.
We're absolutely willing to comply with any auditing expectations if we do work out some sort of an arrangement.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
Appreciate you guys being here.
No. Okay. Thank you.
You don't need anybody else who's walking out, do you?
No, thank you.
All right.
Well, I'm glad to see you guys didn't drive to Webster City yesterday. I also opted not to. But anyway, what I'm just bringing up is item 9.5, which was the funding review and assistance for community life program. And as I said, there was no attachment on the agenda online, so I wasn't aware of what was going on prior until reading this and going and getting a copy from Ron. And that is a little different, obviously. Sometimes, usually you attach in advance, and usually Rick or somebody gives or the staff member gives us a background on this first so we know more what's going on. And what popped into my mind is how far behind are we on these billings? And then if you look at this proposal, there's the preliminary work to bring up to date, but then there's a quote for ongoing support. And so my questions to the board are what with especially as that not-so-cheerful report that Wayne had to give earlier about mental health duty funding, what is our situation as far as being able to keep current on our billings? I mean, do we have a problem here?
I would like to probably be able to refer that answer to you so I could ask directly. I was given some preliminary discussion, but I didn't. It was more general, and it, a lot had centered around staffing changes that have taken place. We're now down to like two individuals now that Gayla has left, trying to figure out how to move forward. She handled a lot of this portion, and we don't have currently someone in place right now to kind of do that. The person that's in there is going to be stepping down. This is kind of a preliminary, long-range focus of saying, let's get someone with some expertise in this area to make sure that we are following the proper protocol. That was my understanding at that point, and I believe that that's you know, I could ask that and get and give you more information later, but I don't know if I could say any more about it other than that's the way it was presented to me at that in my meeting a little over a week ago, and I just felt that he needed to bring that to the board and also to have Jessica look at any proposal because he had been in discussion with Isle of Ball all along about the services they provided, and this was a service that they said that they could assist the county in.
Well, I appreciate that because it's a small amount, so putting out for RFP and very specialized is probably not a practical way to go. Ongoing is a question. The other thing is, you know, Irely Ball is without a director right now up here. Yeah, they announced that yesterday at the Juvenile Justice. But okay, thanks. I just was kind of curious what was going on.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Seeing none, announcements from supervisors. Luke, is this your last meeting with us?
What?
Really appreciate everything you've done and wish you all the best in the future. Now, will you be able to come Thursday night for the budget session?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, we'd love to have you here. Like to see a big article the next day of how Story County's budgeting is going, but that's Thursday night. I did recognize that this was your last Board of Supervisors meeting with us, and just wanted to single you out and say we appreciate the work you've done on behalf of the public, trying to keep them informed of what's going on over here.
Great, absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that.
Any other announcements?
Mm-hmm. They'll be gone next week.
Yeah, we're not having a meeting next week.
Next week.
So there will be no Tuesday meeting. Wayne, any other announcements?
No. Just
take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Clinton?
Aye.
Foot?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.